Welcome to the very first annual award program, but I need your help. I don't have the faintest idea what to call them. Laugh-In had the fickle finger of fate. We've heard of all kinds of awards. As you hear some of the presentations we have to make on this program, which may become an annual tradition with us, you send us your ideas. Somebody talked about the Snipping of the Passing Gear Award. We've had all kinds of awards, maybe the Antlers in the Treetops, Dead Moose Named Bambi Award, all kinds of awards. You give us your idea of what you think this award program should be called. Back again with the beginning of the awards presentation program. I think I've got so many of them, though, and more coming in all the time, that I doubt very much if we will have time to complete the award presentation in this one short half hour. But stand by, and I'll show you exactly what I mean. Some of them are a little bit difficult to know exactly how to present. For example, the awards that have been coming in are so ironic in this year of Democratic elections, of global skyrocketing and runaway inflation, of mounting crime, of the energy crisis, of the problems of world starvation, the inability of some of the giant organizations of states organized under the auspices of the FAO and the United Nations to even admit there is such a thing as a population explosion, or to admit that different countries need to stockpile their own food reserves. And so, the first award of the program goes to the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, or OPEC as it's known, their award for acknowledging that inflation is a terrible worldwide curse, but having the astuteness to recognize that the price of oil has absolutely nothing to do with the problem. The second award, and I don't know what I'm going to see here until I open it up, because they're in any given order, but you have to help me remember this is your participation program, where you tell me in each individual case exactly what you think of the name of the award ought to be. We've thought of Pin the Tail on the Donkey, we've thought of the Jackass Award, but that sounds like Democratic symbol, and we don't want to do that. So, an award goes to the Cigarette Manufacturers of America for steadfast denial, despite a plethora of government and medical evidence to the contrary, that cigarette smoking is highly related to lung cancer and other health problems. And a combined award to all of their advertising agencies who insist it is the taste that sells people on the product, when everybody knows it is actually the smell. An award goes then, next, if I can get the envelope open, to the Lack of Priorities Award for India, the nation that exploded an atomic device, refusing to call it a bomb, which has now learned how to annihilate its neighbors of Pakistan or Bangladesh through a more quicker means than starvation, and to blast itself off the face of the earth, entering the new atomic club era, while millions starve beneath its mushrooming cloud. The next award goes to the United States. We call this the Hypocrisy Award because the United States fancies herself as the benevolent food supplier of the world, while not hesitating to slap embargoes or trade restrictions on food exports if such exports to hungry peoples threaten to raise the price of bread even as much as a penny a loaf. Of course, sugar to make the bread is rising out of sight too. The Ecology Award goes to the publishers of pornography for helping to clean up the environment by developing new methods of converting garbage into material that seems to have some sort of socially redeeming value. The military-industrial complex of the United States and the Soviet Union alike deserve a reward of some kind. You have to help me by deciding what it should be called, for trying to secure peace for humanity by preparing the most sophisticated and powerful weapons of mass destruction ever. More specifically, to the United States for adding 4 nuclear bombs or warheads every single day to America's arsenal, which already is sufficient to blast all of humankind off the earth many times over, and to the Soviet Union's arsenal buildup, which while only adding 1 bomb is much larger in megatonnage and therefore nuclear overkill than the 4 bombs of the United States. I don't know what to call that award either. Jackass Award seems a little tame. an award to the American automobile industry for continuing to produce gas gobblers, which the public can't afford to drive, shouldn't own, and they don't work, and have 25 easily discernible factory defects upon receipt. That's why they have to have a one-year guarantee or warranty these days, and for continuing to raise the price. An award, incidentally, as an adjunct to that, must go to General Motors for raising prices in spite of President Ford's request and urgent appeal to hold fast, and also for their 34% drop in sales. They receive our congratulations. We think it is richly deserved. And to the Ford Motor Company for announcing they had no choice but to follow the lead of GM. Thus, instead of capturing that tremendous drop-off in sales from GM, who might have bought Fords, they're in the same boat with a sharp drop in sales, but they also showed clearly the American people that the Ford Motor Company has a very clear-cut idea of who the leader really is. Maybe they're trying harder. Maybe that's why they're number two. This next award goes to the North Ireland Catholics and Protestants alike for setting the unbelievably unchristian example of attitudes in action, as you see slaughter and bombings, murder, ambush, bloodshed, while staunchly defending the belief that they are Christian. And then, of course, there is the award that has to go to Great Britain for continuing to giggle as they sink beneath the waves. This award for misplacing an empire someplace, and we believe it was lost just prior to the setting of the sun. And then there is an award for almost everybody. I think I even have a couple of them in here, too. Mine are connected with a trip to Alaska. I'm not sure if I should talk about that. An award to all politicians and political parties for believing if inducted into office, they can solve the ills and corruption of their predecessors, plus crime, racism, energy, inflation, war, old age pensions, schools, all kinds of hospitalization, minimum wage, interstate and state highway systems, ad infinitum. And another hypocrisy award has got to go to certain Middle Eastern Arabs who shall remain unidentified, who steadfastly condemn the United States, while the United States taxpayers give far, far more aid to Palestinian refugees than all of the Arab oil states combined. And also to the United States, which is looked upon by the entirety of the world as the world's great cornucopia, the horn of plenty of limitless supplies of food to all the impoverished so-called developing countries, for steadfastly refusing to see that while the Arabs were smart enough, if that's the term, to use their biggest natural resource to virtually blackmail the rest of the world and to send all the developed and industrialized Western countries into an economic tailspin and runaway inflation, the United States would not dare to think of using its bounteous food supplies for the same political purpose. To captains of business and industry goes some kind of an award for recognizing that inflation is our number one enemy, but that no sacrifices should be expected of their segment of the economy to bring it under control, and especially to some of the transport workers in the United States and the mini conference on inflation held in the United States for announcing they were going to get about the business of helping solve inflation just as quickly as they went on strike to achieve higher wages for their own union. An award to the American consumer, who insists on paying more for cavities by steadfastly continuing to purchase just as much sugar and eat just as much, and maybe even hoard a little, even though the price has tripled within just the last year. And this award, hard to get at here, which goes to the nation of Italy. The double reward here, one for managing to walk the tightrope between a dictator on the right or the left, despite the failure of 37 governments since the end of World War II. And secondly, for failing to recognize the difference between peasants and pheasants when shotgunning season started, and for surrendering when the factory whistles blew at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on opening day. This award, which must go to the newly elected officials of the United States at all levels of state and local and county and federal government, because unless they are all collectively liars, within 4 years you and I will be living in virtual utopia. Taxes will have disappeared, government spending will have gone down, Yet all the programs, taxes, and government spending support will have gone up into unbelievably bounteous beauty to usher in a new era of peace and plenty in the United States. And an award must go to the coal miners of our country who, in times of double-digit inflation, are threatening a strike for higher wages and possibly bringing about an energy shortage which could prove to be eventually even bigger than the Arab oil crisis. An award goes to American education for being the finest in the world. And if you don't believe that, congratulate any high school graduate, but be sure in doing so that you do it orally. Don't write it, because he may not be able to read what you wrote. An award must go to religionists in general, and to many religious sects, for preaching that men must learn to love one another and share equally while they themselves hoard food, so that in the coming tribulation they won't starve like their neighbors. And another adjunct to this award must go to all religious in general who sit around and enjoy a good Bible argument in spite of runaway inflation, runaway crime, runaway pornography, runaway VD, runaway arms race, runaway global population, runaway pollution, and runaway problems of all kinds which are impossible to define or analyze, let alone solve today, but for enjoying far more than almost anything else, a biblical argument about doctrine. An award to the consumers of the world for insisting on a lifestyle that has resulted in the resource crisis we face today, as well as in a globally polluted planet. And an award to American business and industry who believes that growth is absolutely inevitable and fails to equate growth with a cancerous development. An award goes to American sports fans whose refined taste make it possible for promoters to pay millions upon millions of dollars to someone stupid enough to try to kill himself in a canyon by flying over it on some kind of a steam-powered thing that they called a motorcycle, and millions more to two guys reenacting a schoolyard fight after a significant amount of banter back and forth and holding it in all places in the middle of some country that no one ever heard of in Africa. And an award should go too, I think, to the intrepid athletes of the United States who sometimes go on strike, or who hold out, or who gripe, or who are known to sink into the gloomiest periods of despair, clam up and not say a word to anybody, because $250,000 a year for running up and down a cow pasture with a piece of pigskin is not enough money for that kind of an exercise. And the stupidity award must go to all those who have walked on the moon for coming back. Now, I didn't think that one up. I've got to apologize. Who did that? Somebody slipped that one in here. I didn't know that. An award goes to the White House plumbers for finding a way to use breaking, entering, and stealing in the public interest. And an award goes to the American public for being able to wash its own garments in the bloody garments of its leaders, whom it claims are far more guilty than anybody else in all of history for a combination of perhaps lying and covering up. And I think that is most ironic of all. The consolation award has to go to television advertising, who would have taken first place for the use of the media most insulting to the public's intelligence if it hadn't been an election year. And so we had to decide in favor of the other. Well, these awards, as you can see, are a little bit sarcastic, a little bit ironic, but I think it's about time we began to have a different kind of award, and I don't look for anybody to streak this one. An award ought to go to streakers, by the way, of the United States of America, for making a perfect ass of themselves in public. An award has to go to the CIA for staunchly defending the American ideals of democracy and free government by undermining the governments of other nations. And I've got to take time out now, because this is one more of the awards to our own television commercial people for producing this following message to show to you.
Free subscription to the monthly Plain Truth magazine, call toll-free 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444.
The next award that I have here, we're back with the awards again, about to run out of them, although I expect a flurry of them to come in, and a few of them, of course, will suggest various awards for me. An award to the United Nations for its continuing efforts toward peace despite failures in Korea, Vietnam, the Mideast, Cyprus, and practically everywhere else it has tried. Our own, well, I guess you would simply call him a reporter, a regional editor abroad, actually, the Plain Truth magazine, has been covering some of those meetings recently, by the way, including the little conference up in Bucharest, Romania, and the one which was underway just very recently in Rome under the auspices of the United Nations and the FAO, which was to solve the global problems of food shortages. Mr. Henry Kissinger gave one of the opening addresses. I think we have to send an award to the Chinese delegation, which used that occasion to solve the world's food problems as a sounding board for some of the most obscene communist propaganda, which stood up and flailed away saying there virtually was no such thing as a population explosion, which vaunted and hailed and congratulated the Chinese people for being every sixth man and almost every fifth on the face of the earth, and said that they actually needed to populate even more because their population was a major way to defeat capitalism. A further award goes to some of these pot-bellied, hair-brained political idiots who inhabit some of these places, and to the one in particular who stood up and said the United States is culpable for world food shortages and should be called upon to feed the starving masses of the world, the same man who claimed that more and more population is necessary in Red China to defeat the very system to which it and other countries look to feed their starving millions. I don't know what to call that award. I'm not sure if I did that I could say it on television. But I think you see why it's ironic. An award goes to Britain, who presently, like those on the Titanic, feels it can never sink, even though there are icebergs all around on the horizon of national bankruptcy and a 20% inflation rate that is clearly visible on the horizon. And the British people seem unaware, but then there has always been an England, they're convinced that there always shall be. An award to various leaders of labor in America who are willing to help the government fight inflation as long as they can be allowed to catch up in wages first. Awards go to almost everybody on this program sooner or later. I think maybe it will become an annual affair. Maybe we can have participation from some people in these areas, present them the award in person. Red Chinese and Russian communist comrades have to be given congratulations for not starting a nuclear exchange among themselves because they hate and fear each other so much, despite the fact that they have a common ideology, and now an award of congratulations for a non-aggression pact, which makes us very suspicious that maybe they're worried about the growing dominance of Europe and Japan, not to mention that of India with the bomb. And now communist comrades turning to each other a little bit more. An award here goes to the average American driver, who would rather gripe about the price of gas than use less of it or vote for rapid transit. And I think the American driver, basically, is a person who would rather go farther on less and enjoy it more, but when his tastes in driving are considered, and when you look at those going 55 being rear-ended on the freeways these days, you really begin to wonder whether or not we should not congratulate all of the American drivers for being unwilling to give up their toys in a time of desperate need. I was driving a big gas-gulping van that got the prodigious amount of gasoline, mileage of about 6 or 7 miles in town. I waited until they went out of sight in price, and then I bought a Volkswagen. But then I wanted to say congratulations to Mercury for advertising at the sign of the cat all the time and telling you that it's a sexy car, for proving in the government statistics on gas mileage that that Mercury station wagon gulps more gas than my van did. An award has to go to the American professional athletes who find some way to gripe about salaries that are stated in terms of hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars while holding out and showing up late for practice, as I said. But, of course, it gives the sports writers a lot to speculate about, and what would we do without a certain amount of speculation in sports? An award goes to those movie announcements which warn, quote, no one under 17 admitted, for being the most successful advertising campaign of the entire year. Now, these and many other awards should be given on this program, perhaps just a few. I wish we had a couple of hours to go through them. To Whisk, which is a product, you know, for marketing a product in the most disgusting fashion possible, and to the producers of the commercial, ring around the collar, for abandoning the first idea they had of ring around the tub. to doctors for providing almost all commercial products with the ultimate recommendation, doctors do? And to the little old lady who asks the question and makes you forget all about the commercial product they're advertising and rush right out and buy a package of prunes. An award has to go to the makers of the SST for producing an aircraft that can get you somewhere you don't need to go, shouldn't be, while at the same time disrupting the atmosphere and leaving a swath of 200 miles of sonic boom behind, which dries up cows, scares chickens half to death, disrupts the life of inner urban city dwellers, and causes heart attacks. An award has to go to the makers of aerosol spray cans for keeping our insects killed, our underarms dry, and our hair in place while it destroys part of the ozone layer and puts lacquer on our eyeballs. An award also has to probably go to the makers of the Shell pesticide strip, for managing somehow to have a farmer member high in Shell Oil Company on the government agency that had to do with the passage of a bill or some kind of approval through the FTC and other federal agencies which allowed Shell to have a virtual monopoly of the market, and to all those restaurateurs who hang that abominable thing right over where they cook your food when actually it's merely wax with little globules of nerve gas in it, which is capable of killing 55,000 flies in a couple of hours in a closed space, and you, if you breathe enough of it, over a long enough period of time. I think congratulations is in order for all of mankind for proving in the last few decades that we are able to live in that gray in-between of a war which must not be fought and a peace which cannot be achieved. Some kind of recognition has to be given to the human mind which actually believes and hopes, in spite of all evidence to the contrary, that we are going to solve all of these and hundreds of others of the collective problems that actually threaten the survival of the human race. An award has to go to the resistance of the American mind, who can listen to the Jeremiahs of science, who can listen to the warnings that come from all quarters these days about everything from the economy to global problems of hideous proportions that define or defy any definition or even understanding, and for continuing to be absorbed by what they see on this medium, by entertainment, by their own religious or political or social or racial squabbles, for getting involved in angry interchanges because of school busing, some of hypocrisy of people in the North who still think that the South had to be put down for racism and bigotry while they themselves throw stones, burn buses, bomb schools, go at it with fists, rocks, and knives to prevent the interchange of racial mixtures in schools these days. Some kind of an award has to go to people in the city of Pasadena, California, who, while the evidence is absolutely incontrovertible that the kids are learning racially mixed up to the point of 40% black and 60% white in what is called a fundamental school, that the education is absolutely superior because of a combination of discipline and good fundamental grassroots education, that the kids are learning to read, learning to write, learning to study at a much faster rate, and this is documented and provable, are nevertheless, in spite of all of this, absolutely adamant and hostile against the idea of a fundamental school. Some of these ironies of the age in which we live, call them crass stupidities, call them ignorances, call them foolishness, call them vanity, call them plain old human ego trips, are the most ironic of all. We live in a world today where survival should be the biggest priority on the face of the earth, but we have never solved some of the tiresome, age-old, hideous misplacement of priorities, the obscene irrationality of priorities. And I take the nation of India once more as a case in point, because it's a very recent one. Here's a nation that has some of the biggest problems in all of humankind, in all the nations of the world, of literally millions of people bordering on starvation. Yet India's priorities have been far more the building of steel mills, the industrialization of its economy, the building of nuclear reactors with American help, of which it has many, many, many nuclear reactors. And of course, even with the so-called inspections and with the so-called controls, we now know that India has joined the nuclear club and is building more explosive devices. Careful, of course, not to call it a bomb, as I have said. If the stupid thing blows up, to me, it's a bomb. I think congratulations have got to be in order to the people of India and to the Indian delegation which attended the FAO conference on world food down in Rome very recently, who also stood up and said it is most obvious that the developed countries, meaning the United States, Western Europe, and others are responsible for the food shortages everywhere in the world when you can point to the fact that only a few years ago, the United States had abroad on the high seas the largest peacetime armada the world had ever seen, sending free wheat to the nation of India. As a matter of fact, one of our cameramen right here, Jim Jensen, was in India at the time. We were on another assignment in the Middle East and doing interviews with Israeli and Arab and other officials. He went on over to India, and we brought back film that showed some of these. I think it's like a pair of hands locked, that they had a big red stamp from the people of the United States to the people of India and so on. Free grains, wheat and soybeans and rice and corn and so on, oats, that were going to the people of India to alleviate almost immediate mass starvation. The United States of America has not only given away multiple millions of dollars in direct aid, in military hardware, in expertise and know-how and technical help, but it's also given away its very food substance, its grain, and its very life's sources. And in spite of the earlier announcement that President Ford had curtailed a massive shipment of wheat to the Soviet Union, and we saw that Mr. Earl Butz didn't know where that had come from, wasn't quite aware of it, even though he is the Secretary of Agriculture. We earlier thought President Ford was going to stop all of that, only to learn later on that about two-thirds of it was going to go out of this country and into the Soviet Union anyway. So the great wheat steal that we heard of earlier in this hanky-panky involving the changing of the prices went on, apparently, and is no real deterrent to the American exporters of our food grains. So I think that some kind of an award has got to be given. I'm not quite sure what we should call it. It seems to be a hopeless irony of some of these disparities, some of these incongruities, some of these almost inexplicable irrationale in priorities that we see in the world today, but I think it's time we recognize them. We are in a last-ditch battle in this world for global survival. And there are literally two kinds of salvation we ought to be concerned about. To me, it's just as much an irrational priority to have some preacher's type standing in a pulpit with all of these problems that confront you every single day, from your kid in school to your wife walking down the street or you in your automobile, to the food on your table and the paycheck coming home, to all the incredible problems of the whole world, and flailing away and talking about be saved in this spiritual sense that they talk about, when Jesus Christ of Nazareth himself in the New Testament of the Bible said, "Watch you therefore," meaning watch world news, "and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass," which he outlined as disease, wars, famine, drought. Oh yes, they call us the doomsday prophets. Whether you're a scientist or a politician or a religionist makes no difference. If you talk about drought and famine and problems, they call you doomsday. But Jesus said, "Except those days should be cut short, there would no flesh be saved." And those days are going to be cut short. For any of you who believe in any other solution other than God, congratulations.
All literature offered on the Garner Ted Armstrong program is free upon request. Write Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Canadian viewers write Box 44, Vancouver, BC. In the continental United States, you may call this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444. In California, call 213-577-5225. Be sure to watch Garner Ted Armstrong again next week at this same time.